Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear about One Book Colorado, a programme that's giving out free books to families of young children in the state. We'll pay a visit to the Longmont Library to find out more. Then, small businesses continue to struggle during the pandemic, even businesses without much competition for their services. We'll pay a visit to Lake Steam Baths. They specialise in steam baths, dry saunas and massages in what they call an old world environment. And they've been in the same location on Colfax for over 90 years. John Lendorf joins us for the latest food news on Radio Nibbles. Then after headlines from the BBC at the bottom of the hour, Tish Buford is your host for A Public Affair. And today her guest is Summer Nettles, a local documentary maker who will talk about her latest project in partnership with Rocky Mountain PBS. It's called She Quit. At 9 o'clock, it's the latest edition of the Radio Book Club. That's a collaboration between KGNU and the Boulder Bookstore. This month, we've been reading Winter Counts by David Heske Wanblee Wyden. And the book tells the story of Virgil Wounded Horse, who's the local enforcer on the Rosebud Indian Reservation in South Dakota. When justice is denied by the American legal system or the tribal council, Virgil is hired to deliver his own punishment. We'll hear more from author David Heske Wanblee Wyden later this morning. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. The Calwood fire is now at 9,978 acres and is 24% contained. Crews were active around the fire all throughout Wednesday with the assistance of aircraft, and fire officials say that fire lines held even as winds increased across the area later in the day. The Left Hand Canyon fire is now at 460 acres and is 43% contained, with the majority of that containment on the southern side of the fire area. John Schreier, who is with the incident management team, said at last night's media briefing that fire officials were pleased with the progress made on Wednesday fighting both fires.
The fire is doing great today as far as we're concerned. There is some activity. We expected that. But actually, it's a little bit less activity than maybe what we had anticipated. Now, we still have the wind event that's coming in overnight, and so we do expect activity to pick up a bit, and we'll probably see some additional acreage growth overnight, but where we expect it to grow, we kind of expect that's where we're going to, you know, that's what we think is going to happen.
The public call centre for both fires will open this morning at 9 a.m. and it will stay open until 6 p.m. People can call 303-413-7730, 303-413-7730. Yesterday, the Sheriff's Department said they are hoping to be able to escort some of the evacuees back to their homes to help winterise their homes ahead of the cold snap, which is coming in today. Significant amounts of smoke were visible in Boulder and along the Front Range on Wednesday, but the majority of that smoke was from the East Troublesome Fire in Grand County. That fire exploded on Wednesday and it prompted several evacuations, including the town of Grand Lake. The Denver Post reports that the fire crossed Interstate 25 on Wednesday afternoon. That prompted the evacuations. People living east of I-25 and north of US 40 had been ordered to evacuate. The fire was driven by strong winds with gusts of about 35 miles per hour. And as we witnessed here, it produced a huge column of dark smoke, which was seen for miles, including along the Front Range. The East Troublesome Fire is now burning more than 125,000 acres. The Cameron Peak fire west of Fort Collins and Loveland had minimal growth on Wednesday despite the winds. The fire is now listed at more than 206,600 acres. This is as of 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday. The containment of that fire has increased somewhat. It is now 55% contained. Bruce Benson, who retired as the president of the University of Colorado system last year, was possibly going to be fired by the Board of Regents. The Denver Post reports that Benson's announcement in the summer of 2018 that he planned to retire actually preempted a previously undisclosed attempt by a majority of the Board of Regents to fire him. Records that were obtained by the Denver Post that were released by CU under the Colorado Open Records Act show in detail the elected leaders' private discussions that summer about firing Benson. Some of the issues that were listed include concerns over his lack of leadership and efficacy at the helm of the four-campus university system. In the weather today, cooler temperatures, but there is still a red flag warning from 10 a.m. this morning to 7 p.m. this evening due to the wind and low relative humidity. And that red flag warning in effect for the high mountains of Boulder, Gilpin, Clear Creek, Summit and Park counties. As I said, though, there will be cooler temperatures in the forecast today. Expect highs in the mid-40s. And there's a slight chance of some precipitation coming in overnight, a chance of drizzle and snow before 8 o'clock, and then snow and freezing drizzle is likely. Cooler temperatures again on Friday. Highs tomorrow expected to be in the low 40s with a wintry mix of freezing drizzle and snow as well. But warming up again on Saturday. Highs in the mid 60s before a significant cool off for Sunday. Highs dropping into the mid 20s for Sunday and Monday with snow likely. It is 12 minutes past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU. One Book Colorado is a statewide program that aims to get books into the hands of the youngest readers in the state. KGNU's Rosanna Longo paid a visit to the Longmont Public Library to find out more.
Every year, the Colorado State Library and local libraries partner to put a new book in the hands of every four-year-old. You can get one now at the Longmont Public Library until October 25th.
Cuando hubo construido todos los materiales, Ruby preguntó, ¿quién quiere ayudarme a cortar las tablas? Yo no, dijo Oscar Lee. Ah, yo tampoco, dijo Rodrigo. Ni yo, dijo José.
When all the supplies were gathered, Ruby asked, who wants to help me cut the boards?
Not me, said Oscar Lee.
I don't think so, said Rodrigo.
No way, said José. I'm too busy.
Cuando las tablas quedaron bien cortadas, Ruby canturrió. ¿Quién quiere ayudarme a clavar los clavos?
Yo no, dijo Oscar Lee.
Yo tampoco, dijo Rodrigo.
Ni yo, dijo José.
Estoy muy ocupado.
When all the boards were neatly cut, Ruby sang, who wants to help me hammer in the nails?
Not me, said Oscar Lee.
I don't think so, said Rodrigo.
No way, said José. I'm too busy.
Fine, said Ruby. I'll hammer them myself. And she did.
Y así lo hizo.
Those were the voices of Valeria and Linda at the Longmont Public Library, taking turns and reading en español y en inglés. Valeria presenta Un Libro para Colorado, One Book for Colorado, is seen for Linda as a great opportunity for every child to get a book at a very early age.
Buenos días a todos. Yo me llamo Valerie y soy bibliotecaria aquí en la biblioteca de Longmont. Y estamos presentando el programa Un Libro para Colorado. Hi everybody, my name is Valerie and I'm a children's librarian here at the Longmont Public Library. And right now we're presenting our One Book for Colorado that it takes place in the whole state of Colorado.
This is where every four-year-old in the state gets a free book, and we know how important it is to start early. Early literacy is so important in children. Now here at Longmont, at the Longmont Library, we're just giving away the books to young children, preschool children. Every child can get a book. because it is so important to get books in the homes of children, to build their libraries, so that they're read to at a very early age.
Libraries are common places to visit, but during COVID-19, there are things that have changed. But the importance of acquiring language skills, lectoescritura, has not changed. It's what Valeria calls promover la lectoescritura a nuestros niños.
We're talking today about the things that the library does every single day, is promote reading and language and conversation, all the things that are part of literacy for our children. But now that we can't be out in the public that much and the public can't come into the library, with this book is one of the manners that we are reaching out to our community.
Lo que estamos presentando hoy es lo que hacen las bibliotecas todos los días, pero ahora que no podemos estar con ustedes en la comunidad y ustedes no pueden venir tanto a la biblioteca, es una manera de alcanzarlos con un libro y animarlos a pasar el tiempo con sus niños, que es tan urgente que ellos lean y conversan con ustedes, canten cantos, dibujan, todas las cosas que son parte de la lectoescritura. Es muy importante.
Linda stresses the importance of repetition when you are learning how to read and the opportunity that libraries are giving to kids to start their own library at home.
I'm Linda, and I work at the Longmont Library, and we know how important it is to read to your children, and we know that it's very important that you start at an early age. And reading books like the Little Red Fort, children learn so much. They learn language skills. They learn from this book. They learn about rhyming words, and so we try to promote the language skills as much as we can by storytelling and just reading to children and just, you know, promoting the books that we have here in the library.
Un libro colorado is one in English and one in Spanish for kiddos to take home and to start their own libraries and start getting their reading skills sharp.
And it is so important that children have books in their home. They enjoy their own books. They get to read them over and over again. And it is so important. Children love repetition. They love reading their books just over and over. And they can pick up a free copy of The Little Red Fort in English and in Spanish here at the library. They can come to and pick it up at our curbside pickup, or they can come down to the children's library and pick up one and have a copy that you can keep in your house and build your own library at home.
Nancy Kerr, directora de la Biblioteca Pública de Longmont, is thrilled to have the library open again and reminds us of the importance of reading to our children and to see what their own literary taste will become.
My name is Nancy Kerr, and I'm the library director here in Longmont. Although my background, I started out as a children's librarian, so it's still my first love in libraries. And, you know, we are all about reading. And outside of coming and picking up your free book or books at the library that we have through the One Book Colorado program, our library is open to people coming in and checking out stacks of books, as well as our curbside pickup if you'd rather do that than come in the library. So it has been the best thing in the world for us to see people come back into the library and check out stacks of 25 or 30 books at a time. It is really important to have variety and read a wide variety of books to your children and see what their own literary tastes become. So we are really thrilled to have people back in.
For KGNU, I am Rosana Longo.
Small businesses continue to struggle during the pandemic, even businesses without much competition for their services. Lake Steam Baths specializes in steam baths, dry saunas and massages in what they call an old world environment that harkens back to a time when Russian and Turkish bathhouses were a common way to relax and get clean. The West Colfax bathhouse has been owned and operated by the same family in the same location for over 90 years. Sam Fuqua visited Lake Steam last week and spoke with the owner, Amy Hyman.
It is off right now, so you can't see just how hot and steamy it is. The steam room, actually, we spray eucalyptus oil into it, which is a natural disinfectant and antiviral. So it's, and it's very medicinal and healing. And then we've got hoses set up in the back, so after customers come in and leave, we are able to, obviously you can see hose down the walls and the chairs and the showers, the steam room handles, the steam room itself and the dry sauna. So we're incredibly clean.
It's very clean looking. So when the pandemic hit back in March, what happened to your business?
Yeah, so March 19th at 8 p.m. Was when we were told to close, and I was under the assumption it would be about 6 weeks and we could reopen. That became May 9th when we were able to, per the city of Denver, just open with 10 people in the business. They wouldn't allow the steam room to open or the bath area, so I chose to just have some of the subcontractors come in. So we had four massage therapists, four customers, and one person at the desk, just so that if someone happened to come in, I wouldn't be over 10 people. I didn't want to do anything wrong and get shut down by the city.
So they allowed a maximum of 10 people in a facility that normally can hold and has how many?
100.
100, okay.
Yeah. So I did that in order to survive. I wanted to keep the door open. And so in June, I was given, actually it was the end of May, I was given the ability to do what was called a private bath. Only family household members could come in together. And that was what I ended up doing. In about the middle of June, I didn't want to start something too soon. I didn't want to spread a virus. So I just waited. In the middle of June, we chose to open for the private bath. We decided to do an hour and a half rental for $100. And it really was sustaining the bank account. Not quite sure why in August the city came in and chose to take that option from us.
Had they identified this as a hotspot for the virus, or did they offer any kind of explanation as to why they required you to stop that?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. I believe it was because the people that gave me the authority to open the private bath, they had said that they weren't high enough up to give me that ability.
Well, it's interesting because this is a different kind of facility. There are not very many of places like this.
That's absolutely correct. And this is very, very unique.
Is this the only one in Denver?
You know, it is. There is a Korean spa located in Tri-County. I'm not sure if, you know, if it's a good idea or not, but I mean, they have been open and running since May 9th with their steam room and their sauna and their whirlpool. So that's what's perplexing to me, is the reason why I can't open. But it's my understanding that each county makes their own decision. And I just happen to be in Denver County, and they're being very conservative.
There is a stereotype of bathhouses as a place where men meet to have sex. Some bathhouses are like that. This one is not. But do you think that plays a role in the decision at all?
You know, I don't, because I know Denver Health knows who I am, and they know what my level of standard is.
Compared to 2019, how much are you down?
At the beginning, with just the massage therapists, I don't make a lot of money off of them. That's the reason why people like to come here, because I can keep the price low for the massage therapists, because they don't have to pay a lot of room rent. So I was just making a little over, if I was lucky, 10%. The moment that I got the private baths, once people understood first off, how phenomenal the place is. I had a lot of new customers, actually, and get the word out to my Lake Steam community. I was holding closer to 20-25% because I could make a couple hundred a day. When that got taken away, it went down again quickly. Trying to get people to come in and use the shower in the whirlpool was what they had given me. Is a little difficult when they know that the place is fantastic when it's open with the steam and the dry sauna.
So difficult 6 months. Now, you just had a piece of good news, right?
I did. I am able to reopen the private baths. I've got a lot to recover, but it gives me hope.
If you are direct family members,
yep, family,
you can rent the place, basically.
That's correct. Yeah. Got to call and make an appointment. And it is, unfortunately, I have to time limit it, but we find that an hour and a half is a very sufficient amount of time to go back and bake in my bath area. So what we've decided to do, because I make the locker room and the bath area private, you can bring your wife, you can bring your kids, so it can be co-ed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've actually, which we've never done, as far as I know, the history of this business, we do allow men to get massages on ladies' days and ladies to get massages on men's days now, just in order to try to make a little bit of extra money. They are absolutely welcome to call and make appointments for the massages.
So assuming best intentions of public health officials, what do you wish they would change in their process?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And, you know, my answer to that is the consistency. Other places are open, and they're in the surrounding counties. And it's always curious to me why you can drive 10 minutes and use something that's very similar to my business, but they can't use it here. And I wish that the Denver Health Department would understand the amount of heat that is in this business and what I do and how I clean and keep everything very sanitary. I would just really wish that they would look at my variance and get that signed. But I am going to say I am incredibly grateful for having the private bath back.
Amy Hyman is the owner of Lake Steam Baths on West Colfax in Denver. For more information on their services and their GoFundMe campaign, you can visit the website lakesteam.com. And thanks to Sam Fuqua for that report. It's 8:28 and it's time now for Radio Nibbles.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy.
Everybody eats, and John Lendorf joining us live now from his home kitchen in Louisville. John, we had a wonderful show last Thursday for our supersized edition in honor of our full fund drive. It really was a great show.
And we just want to thank everyone who joined us and became members and upped their memberships. And I wanted to thank everyone who donated thank you gifts. And if you can still join KGNU, and I believe we still have copies of the First Bite cookbook, which includes recipes from a lot of local restaurants.
Well, one of the local restaurants included is the Black Cat restaurant. We've also got Shine, but don't forget John's Blueberry Pie restaurant, or excuse me, John's Blueberry Pie recipe is included in that cookbook.
Yes, and it's a recipe that actually works because I tested it.
Well, a big, big thank you to all the folks who contributed during the fund drive. As John said, there's always room for you here at the table. Pull up a chair, go to kgnu.org. Well, John, my goodness, just a couple of days after we were together on air, the fires exploded. And I know local restaurants, people were really concerned about this. The Greenbrier Inn, the Gold Hill Inn and the Jamestown Mercantile. Seems that they have survived, fortunately.
And I'm adding this morning. I'm adding to that list: Showboats, Drive-By Pie Shop in Granby, which so far is doing okay. I did want to give a shout out to folks who are helping. Big Red F is feeding evacuees at Jack's Fish House and their other restaurants. And there's a great company called CUSA, CUSA, and they donated 1,000 servings of freeze-dried coffee for the firefighters.
And there's also this online pop-up market that's benefiting rent relief in Colorado. So, you know, lots of efforts from the food community to help people who are struggling, whether it's from the fire or the economic fallout from the COVID-19. Sure. And that has tasty goodies from some of Denver's finest bakeries and food businesses. I think that runs through October 28th.
And it's there's really wonderful stuff. Go to chow-fundraiser.myshopify.com. It's really worth looking into. Some wonderful stuff available.
Well, for
a lot of local food news right now too.
A lot of local food news. Some good news for local brewers.
The Great American Beer Festival, which started in Boulder, was held virtually, and a bunch of local brewers took home gold medals, including Avery, Wibby in Longmont, and Mirror Image Brewing, a newish one in Frederick. Also, there, you know, we talk a lot about places closing, and I'm sad to say that Zadie's Deli in Denver is closing after 35 years. Other places are opening. Daikon has opened a second banh mi sandwich shop on the Pearl Street Mall, and Cucini Pizzeria has opened in Lafayette.
Well, I know that the October 24th is a date to be saved. That's the International Bake Bread for Peace Day. Something nice to do on the weekend.
Yeah, bake it, share it, and break bread. You know, sit down with people and, you know, have a little peace.
Well, what's the best thing you've tasted recently?
Well, bread, of course. I'm starting research on, you know, ethnic holiday treats that you need to enjoy the season. I visited Dolce Sicilia Bakery in Wheat Ridge, a wonderful Italian bakery, and had a wonderful Italian ciabatta loaf.
Yum. Well, Bake Bread for Peace, you can do it too, October 24th. And don't forget, you can listen to Food Waste Tips on Friday mornings here at KGNU and check out that entire series at news.kgnu.org. Bon appetit.
Bon appetit, everyone.
Face, Buster, Share, Chops, Fump. Everybody eats when they come to my house.